Misinformation is rampant and it can spread quickly. Think false news or social media hoaxes. In New Jersey, officials are looking to a new generation to help stop the spread and damage of misinformation. The state's Democratic Governor Phil Murphy signed a law this month that requires all children in K-12 public schools be taught media literacy. Classrooms around the country may teach these concepts informally, but this is the first time a state has implemented this kind of mandate. Learning how to think critically about fact and fiction might sound complicated for kindergartners, but experts in the field disagree, and they encourage families to start routines around media from birth. Joining us now is Sabrina Burrows, who has taught media literacy to kids as young as 3 years old all the way up to third grade. She's an early childhood educator and tech mentor at John Lewis Elementary School in Washington, D.C. Sabrina, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
So I think you, along with many others, are the people who are thrilled that New Jersey is committing to teaching media literacy to students. But I'd love to get you to just tell us simply and clearly, what is media literacy?
Thank you, Deepa. It's a great question. Media literacy is designed to help students of all ages develop habits where they're learning through expression and using those critical thinking skills to become beyond 21st century learners. And in this country, we're behind the eight ball in growing our kids to become advanced thinkers. We need to have them use technology, but use it purposefully, making sure it's developmentally appropriate. So we want to make sure that whatever they're doing it for a reason, not necessarily just to use the tool as an entertainment device. They're using these resources to become better processing thinkers, to navigate the world in a deeper way.
Yeah. Give us an example, maybe, for folks who might be wondering, okay, so what is that?
So the perfect example I have is just during COVID, when I was teaching remotely and my students were very confused about what was happening, I allowed them to take that moment as a teachable moment to learn about it. So I had them with their families just talk about it. And then with that, we were taking what they learned and I allowed them to use an app. And I gave them kind of a challenge question just to think about, how does it affect you being at home with COVID? What effects is it having on your household? And they were able to make public service announcements, PSAs, that we shared with other students from 3 years old all the way through like high school.
So they were making their own media in a way.
Exactly. They were using that media as a resource and a learning tool. They were learning things because there was a lot of speculation about what COVID really was and what was happening. This was early on. So we didn't know.
How old were your students?
At the time, most of them were five. Some of them were six, but most were five.
So, I mean, obviously you're starting very young teaching these concepts. How concerned are you about the spread of misinformation?
Oh, gosh. There is a lot of misinformation. In fact, the hardest thing that I think about is when the kids are doing research, where they're researching something specifically, to make sure that they're putting in the appropriate context or text to make sure that they're getting a real source. So we also do source-based research. So we're looking at three sources, and we're looking to find out if that's a credible source or if it's not a credible source. And once we find that source, there are bells and whistles that tells you if this is a correct source that you should use or if it's someone who, you know, who just wrote something. But we're learning how to do that. We're teaching them how to look for something that's factual.
So maybe let's just go with your example that you gave us, because that's a really complicated concept, misinformation around COVID, you know, and your students are 5 years old. Tell us a little bit about what they produced and how you use that to help them understand concepts like misinformation.
So I had them look up three resources. They had to get something visual, they had to get something that was read, and they had to get something that was audio or auditory so they could sing it or dance it or video.
This is so fun.
Yes. They were able to present that in print. They were able to present that audio, video, or through whatever app they wanted to build. I even had a student who built a rocket to understand how COVID was soaring throughout the world. And when
you're
we came
of blowing my mind here when I think about the fact that these are five-year-olds doing this.
Yeah, they can do it. When you give students a challenge to think, they will do it. They will master the act.
So, Sabrina, why is it important to start this education so young?
Starting young is the richest time to get students to learn. They're like sponges at 2 and 3 years old. I have a godson who is 4, and he can tell you how to do anything on his iPad or tablet. If he wants to research dinosaurs or Spider-Man, he knows how to get to those places because he's been shown once. So as teachers, we model and then we practice and then the kids do. So it's one of those I do, we do, you do concepts where if the teacher models what it looks and sounds like, then they can move forward from there and learn throughout working through the process.
We're speaking with Sabrina Burrows, who's an early childhood educator and tech mentor at John Lewis Elementary School in Washington, D.C. You know, when I think about it, and I will say to you, Sabrina, that I also taught media literacy, and I taught it in New York City public schools well over a decade ago, and I loved it. But back then, it wasn't the digital landscape that we have today. You have shared with us an example from your kindergartners so that our listeners can get a better idea of how you do this with students. So let's take a listen to you in the classroom.
Do you know how Mrs. Burrows uses media when I'm not here? Like I send you a video message when I wasn't at school. What would you send a video message about, Catalina?
I would say, I hope you feel better, or I hope you come to school the next day.
Oh, Catalina, she's so beautiful. So, Sabrina, can you describe what's happening here and why you wanted to share this example?
I have two groups. One group of students is doing public service announcements in order to talk about how they are dreaming about how they can make the world a better place. And the other group of students, they're writing books and they're making digital books at 5 and 6 years old. The ones who want to do a video book will be streamed on YouTube. There is going to be ebooks for those who want to just do an audiobook. There'll be a printed book. And I actually have an old school typewriter that I brought in. So some of my students will actually be typing. So they'll use low tech to type a book out.
And that's a good point, because I can hear parents of young children saying, I don't want them on screens yet. I don't want them to make a digital book. I'd rather them. Do you hear that from parents? And, you know, what would you say to those parents?
So the student that you were just presenting, Catalina, her parents don't allow television in the home and they don't use technology in the home. So for her, I would do something on paper and I may have her record her voice reading the story so she can create an audiobook. I would modify according to parent specifications, parent needs, because we always want to make sure that we meet the child and the family where they are. So I don't necessarily teach the group or the expectations of the group, I teach the expectations of the families. So if the families prefer something, another methodology, I try to use a different methodology, whether it's auditory, whether it's kinesthetic, whether it's tactile, we use whatever resource meets the child's needs.
Okay, so that's in a classroom setting. We also have an example of how one family learns at home. Here's Cindy Scheib, an educator in Ithaca, New York, with her 5-year-old grandson, Jakarta, and 3-year-old granddaughter, Jada, and they're talking about what they consider to be media.
I like to watch movies.
Movies are a kind of media, that's right.
And pictures.
And pictures, that's right. And what else do you like to do at grandma's house? Where we open it up and we turn the pages.
Books and mangoes.
And mangoes.
Most of all.
Mangoes most of all. So mangoes aren't media, but cereal boxes are media. And phones and other cereal boxes.
But toys are not media.
Some toys maybe have some media on them.
I mean, besides the fact that I really want to go to grandma's house and eat mangoes right now, that's actually a really interesting discussion to point out, have kids point out at such a young age what is media and what is not media.
Exactly. And it causes the students to become users of feedback loops where they're making a loop to engage in conversation. And with that being said, they're becoming those critical thinkers, problem solvers, investigators. They're looking at resources that are different. In my classroom, when I taught preschool, I would just cut off the labels of boxes, whether it was whatever product you like, a cereal or potato chips. They were using those labels and they were learning from environmental print. That's a form of media that the kids were using in order to use to learn.
That's a great like hands-on activity that we could do at home with our own kids.
Exactly.
And just finally, what do you hope adults take away from this conversation today?
I really want the adults in the families to think of media literacy not as a tangible object, something that the kids are going to hold on to, but to think of it as a tool or resource to grow and to become constructive, critical, and conceptual thinkers. So they're going outside of their boundaries. They're soaring with images and resources that are going to make them more interested in promoting what they're learning.
Sabrina Burrows is an early childhood educator and tech mentor at John Lewis Elementary School in Washington, D.C. Sabrina, thank you so much.
You're welcome. It's my honor.